longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Gilas Filipinas podcast. Stunning Stancy at your service. To my right, ravishing Ro Moran. Right across me, Rowdy Rav Camps making his return since...
Two weeks ago.
Pwede na.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you were here.
You were not here last week.
Yeah. I wasn't here last week. Okay. Hi, I'm back.
Yeah.
And it's the first time we're all in the same room in 3 weeks.
Yeah, actually, since SummerSlam.
Oh. Actually,
I'm telling you, I've been consistent.
It's been a while. What, you want a loyalty award now?
Yeah. No, we should.
Best in attendance.
Best in attendance. We will print your certificate.
Ay, meron pa dyang, mga listeners, meron pa dyang since day one nakikinig.
Yeah, actually.
Yun ang bibigyan namin ng loyalty award.
If you guys have been listening since episode
MDJ
one.
Siguro na.
Probably. Yeah, if you've been listening since day one, let us know. Hit us up on Twitter. It's at Caveman Camus, at Roswar, at underscore Stancy, or at the SGP podcast. Let us know. We'll come up with something for you. Anyway, before we proceed, we got to give you a reminder of where we stand right now. This is the number one 23rd ranked podcast in the sports and hobby section on iTunes.
I dig it. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, we
it's
can still
normalized.
Do the joke.
Our ratings have normalized.
Yeah.
Because we're 3 spots above Cheap Heat.
Yeah.
So, pwede na. I'm cool with that.
Fuck you, Rosenberg.
I like
Rosenberg.
All right. I love Rosenberg, too. Anyway, some news. Big news came out this week. I think the biggest news for me in my world was that Pokemon Go came out.
Oh, no, it's
no,
not
it's
out
coming
yet.
Out.
It's coming
yeah.
out.
Or is coming
they
out.
They just revealed the trailer. And it's hype.
Hype, yeah. Motherfucker.
So hype.
I need that shit in my life.
For those who don't know what it is.
You should know.
You should know. It's an augmented reality game. Use your phone.
And a companion wrist bracelet.
I am not sure how it works.
I think it reads movements and stuff.
Pokeball. Yeah. So you use your phone. You use a camera. And then you point it at certain things around
in
you.
In real life. In
and
real
you will
life.
Find Pokemon.
And you can catch them all.
Yeah, yeah. That's the game. That's the game.
But although details have not been fully released as to, you know, requirements, specs, things like that, we do know that 2016, we will be catching virtual Pokemon in the real world.
We'll all be looking stupid.
I'm totally saving up for that, though.
We'll all be looking stupid, pointing our phones at
how about we spend, like, a good minute theorizing about the stupidest scenarios that pwede itong mangyari? So, like, off the top of my head...
You're in a club.
No, dude. You're having sex at your girl's place. And then you see a Mewtwo. And you're like, oh my god, I gotta catch this shit.
apparently, the Mewtwo was in, what, Times Square?
Yeah, Times Square. And then everyone had to, you know, gang tackle
him. Oh, tangina. I felt sorry for Mewtwo. Jesus Christ.
Mewtwo, although he is a psychic cat...
Has feelings.
Has feelings, too. As evidenced in the many Pokemon movies
that I know.
All watched.
Yeah, kasi, di ba, parang lahat ng tao. But there's only one Mewtwo, so who is going to catch it?
Oh, that's a very good question.
That's a very good question. Maybe it's not like that.
That's cruel.
Here's another stupid scenario. Let's say you're in a meeting with your boss, diba? And there are some people that their games are still on their phone, no matter what situation they're in. So let's say you're in a meeting, like making a sales pitch, so tangina may lumabas na Articuno. And you're trying to catch it in the boardroom.
No, but you know, I believe that
A friend of mine has this really nice idea about that. Punta ka dun sa mga lumang movie house sa Recto or dun sa Quiapo.
Yeah.
Yung, tapos, mga ghost Pokemon lalabas.
Hindi, papi. Pagtingin mo sa phone mo, may Mac. Or you go to like, I don't know, Payatas and find Grimer or whatever. Or that new trash Pokemon.
There's a trash Pokemon that is made out of garbage. It is quite sad. It is literally the most lazy character design ever.
What is this, a ground Pokemon? A normal Pokemon?
I think it's normal.
Poison. What?
Poison.
Okay, I found him. His name is Trubbish.
Mm. Yes.
Resembles a full dark green garbage bag. What the fuck?
Hey.
It's a poison type Pokemon.
It's sad.
Yeah, it looks sad.
But from the trailer of Pokemon Go, it looks like it is... going to be limited to the original 150.
Oh, that's good.
By the looks of it.
That's good.
So all of you children who have grown up with these imbalanced Pokemon that can beat the crap out of our Rattatas.
Why would you take a Rattata to a fight anyway?
Actually, yeah.
You know ba? Youngster Camus. Youngster Raph. On Route 2.
No, because because diba, at some point, when we start out, what do you start out with? A Pidgey? A Rattata?
Yeah, but why would you take it to a, you know,
the
to
Elite
fight?
Four?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No, not to the Elite Four. We're just talking about if we're dealing with real world situations here, at some point, you may have to rely on a Rattata, evolve it into Raticate, teach it Hyper Fang.
Before you actually get other Pokemon
that have cooler stuff going on.
You know what? One last bit about Pokemon. I visited 3 Pokemon centers when I was in Japan. Uh-huh. And the one thing I really wanted to buy, aside from the Ash Ketchum hat, which I did buy, by the way, was yung soundtrack nila. As in, you go inside, you hear the Pokemon Center song playing, that or yung Root Info song.
Yeah.
Which version of the Pokemon Center
song? Original, dude.
As in the 8-bit original version?
Well, medyo ano na siya, medyo spruced up na siya.
Oh, but so
it's the
same.
So maybe
it's always been the same.
Yeah, it's no, it hasn't.
Yes, it is. Oh. Pokemon Center song.
Pokemon Center, yes, but the roots.
Of course. Okay,
the root one is from Generation 1.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm like, damn, right. I need this shit. That one.
Okay.
And I'm like, what? So those songs, dude, I could totally use that when I'm driving. Gaganahan ke. Unless you're stuck in traffic, in which case, you're just in place. But whatever.
It's like
at that point, you play the Spirit Tower song.
No. At that point, you use the bicycle theme.
All right.
And then you're just like, why am I not moving downhill quickly?
Is it that bad of a week in wrestling that we spent a good 3 minutes on Pokemon?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, if you were unfortunate enough to watch Raw before reading Stan or Joe the Grappler from Rappler's reviews, then we pity your souls. Wrestling was that bad, with the exception
Oh, here's the thing. It wasn't terrible.
But it was bad.
No, it wasn't even bad. Maybe in the right circumstances, it could have been okay. I think it was just tiring to watch today. Raw was
tiring to watch today.
It was just parang, stuff on their own, they're okay.
In isolation.
But it was tiring. I think it was tiring for us.
Yeah.
And everyone involved in the show seemed tired.
Right.
So I wouldn't say it was terrible. When you look at it objectively, everyone was trying, but there is just a sense of fatigue. Mm-hmm. Which will be the running theme of this week's episode.
Actually, yeah. Speaking of fatigue, we've got somebody who feels quite fatigued. He's also a good friend of the podcast and one of the original founding members of SmartHenry.ph. Mikey Llorin joins us on this week's episode, and we'll talk about fatigue. And the conversation actually gets pretty meta.
Oh.
And
you have to prepare your brain.
Yeah, you have to prepare yourself. For us, we didn't exactly do our bit of preparing, but I'd like to say...
we love that shit.
Yeah, it was one of the most enjoyable interviews we've had on the podcast in quite some time. So that's coming up later on. But right now, we probably talk about Raw and a bit of NXT, no?
See.
All right, so let's start off with talking about Randy Orton and the Wyatt family and The Shield.
Ito na.
I'll get into this later on, but let me just say this right now. I hate that I had to use wrestling logic to fill in the gaps with that story. Because nobody really said that Randy Orton would be the third man.
This is you. It's all you.
Yeah, it's all me, or it's all you who watch and filled in the blanks yourselves. Right?
And those are a lot of you.
Yeah.
Wrestling logic is Pavlovian.
If
thing
a
happens,
a trigger,
thing B is sure to happen.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what I hate about this is whether or not creative realized it, nagmukhang gago si Nadine and Roman for not saving Randy Orton. Kasi, for me at least, the way I looked at it was, if Randy wasn't the third man, then they just set him up. And the unintended consequence was, Dean and Roman, who are supposed to be good guys, did something heelish.
Yeah.
Which just set a trap for Randy Orton, who was minding his own business naman. So, how do you fix this?
Should you outrightly call somebody the third man?
No. You save Orton with the third man.
Ah.
Yeah.
Right then and there or next week?
Because it should have been done.
No, if Orton wasn't the third man, which it looks like it isn't, then you should have just come out with a third guy.
Right then and there.
Yeah. To make everyone
or
look like heroes.
Or the guy comes out and then he becomes the third man subsequently.
Hindi. Siya na yun. Yun na yun. To dispel everyone's mind. Say, if you don't come out, oh yeah, all right, fine. But if ano.
But
it kind of makes him look weird, though.
It does. No, I mean there is no way to salvage it without
including
the third man. That's it.
If it's not Randy, who could it be? Would it be? Actually, I don't.
Jimmy Uso is here.
I don't think Eric Rowan's ready. Because Jimmy Uso appeared on SmackDown.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah. But I'm not sure Eric Rowan is ready to come back just yet. And it would be weird that sobrang flip floppy ni Eric Rowan and he's like Big Show.
Mm. So, not.
I would have been okay.
I wouldn't call it Big Show level flip floppity. But it is flip floppity.
I would have been okay with Baron Corbin. I really would have wanted to see how that turns out.
Actually, ako rin. Now that I think about it, because the initial reaction was shock and anger. But I'm like, why him?
I like him. No, I like him for the role. No, yeah, because he's Roman Reigns adjacent right now.
Yeah. Parang he could benefit from having Dean and Roman do the brunt of the work and then the hot tag na lang Corbin.
If Corbin filled in the third man role, he's basically doing what he was basically what Roman was back then.
Yeah.
That's Shield true. 2.0.
Basically.
Huh.
Plus the riot gear would look good on him.
Mm. Well, yeah, it would. Well, he basically does wear all black jacket, everything.
All black everything.
I have a feeling that it is him. No, I think the whole issue with the WWE.com glitch.
Early release.
No, it was apparently disproven na hindi pala totoo yung na may,
that he was the third man.
No, that someone fucked up and posted that. But I have a feeling it's him. It's possible.
Or they're gonna retcon everything because of the clamor or attention, maybe?
I think it was the plan all along.
Yeah. The thing about calling Baron Corbin up is I think it would make 2015 the year napakadami ng NXT call-ups.
And yet, Tyler Breeze is still stuck in developmental.
I don't think Tyler Breeze deserves to be called up just yet.
Yeah.
We had this conversation online yesterday, and I'm not very convinced that Tyler Breeze is ready to be called up. It's just not happening for me. Not yet, right? But let's take a quick recap of the guys who were called up this year, though. Neville, Kevin Owens, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Kalisto. No, The Ascension were called up late last year.
Oh, last year?
December sila. Leading into the Royal Rumble. I believe it happens.
Yeah, tama.
Right. So far, you got those five. Okay. And then if Baron Corbin gets called up, he'd be number six.
And we still have a few months left in the year.
Braun Strowman.
Oh, yeah. Braun Strowman. Six na, as is.
Yeah. Six.
Corbin would be the seventh.
Mm-hmm. Do we call like Rich Brennan or something?
No. As much as I love Rich Brennan,
Do we count JoJo?
No. Na-demote nga siya, di ba?
Oh.
Like, she goes back and forth, so no.
No, she does, She does interviews.
Right.
So
that's seven guys, dude, in one calendar year. Because last year we only had, five guys?
Ascension.
We had the Ascension last year.
Adam Rose.
Adam Rose, thank you. Bo Dallas, pa?
Bo Dallas. Four.
Crap, why am I not remembering these guys?
Saxton.
I'm not counting Saxton. So, the point is, I think this is the year na napakadaming call-ups, and it probably says something about the way NXT's been developing its guys. Now,
something about how things just aren't working out in the main roster.
That's a very good alternative point of view.
Sorry, one more. Emma.
Yeah, Emma was called up last year. Paige.
Emma and Paige.
Right.
So marami din.
Yeah. Marami din last year.
Hmm.
But it's just now that it's the marquee names from
NXT.
From NXT coming up.
Yeah. Anything else worth talking about on Raw this week?
The statue, I guess.
The statue segment was fun.
Yeah.
But not as fun as Edge and Christian.
That one time.
I mean, Big E, though. I love that Big E tried to fucking eat the kazoo.
I thought he was just, brushing his teeth with it so Christian won't use it anymore.
I love it. Weird lang na, whenever we get nostalgic about Edge and Christian, they have to resort to doing what they did in the Attitude Era. But why can't Edge and Christian be mid-2000s Edge and Christian?
Because there's nothing to like about mid-2000s Edge and Christian.
Well, in Christian from the Peep Show was fun. In CLB Christian.
That's not endearing, though. It's not endearing to anyone. The whole surfer boy shtick was more endearing.
How about 2011 Christian?
There was nothing memorable about that. But he was a good guy. He was a good guy. But that wasn't a character.
Mm.
He wasn't a character, I guess.
So you mean to say now, whenever Legends come back, the only way to make them really entertaining is if they actually have a character that references like something they used to do.
Pretty much. Why do you think Ric Flair still woos?
Huh. Yeah.
Why do you think before he died, Roddy Piper would still do the Piper's Pit?
Oh, that's true.
Why do you think they always get the tables with the Dudley Boys?
Oh, in a yun.
Is
the Royal Rumble, diba?
Right. Oh, I know. Yeah.
It's things like that.
Sayang lang. I mean, it took a comment from Ryan Songalia for me to realize that Edge and Christian seemed stuck.
But everyone is stuck.
All of these legends are stuck.
To support your point,
yeah.
They did that when they did the Cutting Edge and the Peep Show back in January.
December.
December.
When Seth held Edge hostage.
They weren't stuck then.
Yeah.
All right.
But then again.
But no, in that storyline, they weren't stuck.
Yeah, they weren't.
They were doing what they did.
Towards the end of their careers then, yeah.
Mm. Okay. They were them. The only time they were doing their old gimmick was during the WWE Network special.
Ah, yeah. I remember that. All right.
I think the problem is, if you're not part of a huge storyline, like most legends will, you're not going to do anything. Wala kang fleshed out character. You're stuck in what people know you best.
Or how people remember you.
Yeah, and well, Edge couldn't be, you know, having a live sex celebration again if he came back now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What else is worth talking about this week's Raw? NXT, they continued yung Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic.
So you want to talk about the Gargano, Ciampa, and Breeze, Dempsey match?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I thought it was just your standard tag team match. Like, there was nothing remarkable about it. And this is coming from me being excited to see Gargano and Ciampa for the first time. Because I never followed their stuff in PWG. I never followed their stuff on the indie. So I had this expectation that these are big name guys from the indies.
No, they're not. They're not that.
They're not Kevin Steen.
They're
not Young Bucks.
Yeah.
But they're good. solid guys. Mm. That's the thing. I mean,
and when you put solid guys against Breeze and Dempsey, who are homegrown performance center guys, mm-hmm. You know, don't have that indie pedigree.
Yeah.
The indie cred, if you
You're will. Only going to get, like, a decent match. I'm sure, like, it was the first time they met each other, so all they could do was a basic tag match.
Which it was.
But that is, like, the most you can do when you meet someone for the first time.
Si Breeze ba walang indie talaga? Walang indie pedigree?
No. Oh. How long has he been stuck as,
in developmental? 4 years, at least.
At least?
Yeah.
Like I say, if you're from the indies,
you get fast tracked at the very least.
Yeah, like Neville. Neville was stuck for a while, but you know he was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or guys like, well.
No, your boy.
My boy.
Yeah, Sami Zayn.
But he's stuck because of injury now.
No, I'm saying that because he has an indie pedigree, he's good. Mm-mm. And he comes to NXT as a really great wrestler.
Mm-mm.
All right.
And if Mike Dalton was ever good in the indies, we'd have known of him.
A couple last bits before we move on to talking to Mikey. I want to talk about the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic and how they continued or how they proceeded with some of the round one matchups at house shows. And they didn't even show highlights. Or
I think they showed it on YouTube.
Full matches?
I'm not sure.
All right. So they didn't show Enzo and Cass's match. They took on Shoot Nation, Dawkins and Fulton.
The other half.
Right.
Okay.
And then they also didn't show yung match nina Mechanics.
Yes.
Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson versus Elias Samson and his partner. So
his partner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So medyo sayang lang for me kasi you're trying to build up the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic as this really epic thing that everybody wants on.
Here's the problem kasi NXT doesn't have time.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Unless everyone involved... Everyone on NXT joined the Tag Team Classic, which it looks so.
Yeah, it looks like that.
Yeah, it feels like
they would have, you know, used the entire
show. Like, it's an ongoing series.
Yeah, but then you have Divas, you have women's wrestlers. You have Apollo Crews, who was in the tournament.
You know, it actually dawned on me. It would have been really nice to see one women's tag team, or even Team PCG.
PCB. But WWE frowns upon intergender matches.
I know, but if just for Dusty, No. If they made the XR, it would have been interesting. Yeah. It would have been,
but I really doubt that it would have happened. Yeah. One last bit, and I kind of want to talk about this because I just want to get your thoughts on this. Jimmy Snuka being charged with murder, parang. Why do these things come out now? You know what I mean? I'm trying to talk about yung mga legends and yung mga scandalo nila from before. So with Hogan and the sex tape coming out.
It's coincidence.
Jimmy Snuka is coincidence.
Because it's been 30 years, right? Yeah, it's been 30 years since that happened.
Yeah.
Right?
It's one of those long-standing issues that, you know, you are vaguely aware of, but because he was never indicted, he was never called to court.
He was just acquitted.
Acquitted, there.
So there was
no sentence handed out.
Does it make sense for WWE to, you know, give him the Hogan treatment now?
Yeah, because it's still in a bad PR.
It's appeasing.
It's bad PR.
It's an appeasement.
It's worse than what Hogan did, I think.
Yeah, that's murder. That's murder.
Yeah, it's murder.
Murder is worse than sex tape.
Oh. It's just funny or racist remarks.
Yeah,
it's just funny na, you know, they made such a big deal out of the Hogan thing, pero with Jimmy Snuka, people talk about it, but they don't give it the same amount of attention as they did with Hogan.
Because it's Snuka. It's not
Hogan. Yeah, it's not Hogan. Yeah, they're not
Hogan
the same
is,
level
Hogan,
of star.
Yeah. Stardom. Hogan is Mount Rushmore level.
Yeah.
Snuka is Will Hall of Fame, yeah.
And the other thing is Hogan or Snuka isn't as, you know, he was never in the limelight anymore. He's not in the limelight anymore, and Hogan still is.
Yes,
Hogan's still active.
Right. We're going to be talking to Mikey Lurin in a bit. He'll tell us about why wrestling criticism gets tiring. And we kind of have a few counterpoints, and I have some feelings I got to let out. And we'll handle that in just a bit.
We help Mikey, you know, process his feelings.
Yeah.
It's a bull session.
Not really. It's more like an intervention for all of
us.
No,
it's not even an intervention. It's just us
talking about our feelings.
Talking about our feelings.
Estifap, pal. It's Estifap. Sharing what? Of thoughts, feelings, angst, and pain.
Really? What?
Estifap?
What?
I actually learned that when we were undergrads. Like, it was actually a thing in UP. I'm not kidding.
But there is another Estifap.
That's the point. Anyway, that's happening just a bit. Hang on.
Financial
this is
assistance program.
Episode 77 of the SGP podcast. Right, we're sitting here on a Saturday morning recording the podcast, and we've got with us right here one of the founding members of SmartHenry.ph and a good friend of the podcast, Mikey Lurin, joins us. How's it going, Mikey?
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Tita Mikey.
This is new, the Tita Mikey thing. Yeah. No one calls
me that.
I'm
making it a thing.
Right, okay. Let's see if it works.
You'll see why.
That could be your gimmick.
Yeah.
What a terrible gimmick, right? I'm everybody's Tito. Right?
Hey, you know.
At least you're not creepy Tito. Right.
Yeah,
that's a thingy.
That's important.
He can be Maniac Tito, but not creepy Tito.
No, I can't be. Because Maniac Tito is just Maniac.
Oh.
You don't want to be around that guy.
Mm. Yeah, that's not a thing.
All right, so.
But your Maniac Tito gets you beer before you're of age.
Nah.
If you're
just
male.
That's just cool Tito.
Actually, even if you're female.
Yeah.
It's more like anyway. So enough of that.
So Mikey is not creepy at all.
So the reason why he's here is because he appeared on International Object, which is the podcast of Kay Sawyer-Paul, a wrestling writer, a writer in general that I really respect because he's really that damn good. And of course, you respect him the same way.
Yeah. Can I just say that I've wanted to come on this show for a while.
What? It'll come.
And
And
shut up. Terrible. Every time you say a word that relates to... Anyway, so I've been wanting to come to the show for a while, and it's funny to me that finally I come on the show, and I feel like I'm de facto heel guest.
No, you're not.
I show up on Sawyer's podcast. So anyway.
Before we talk about that, why did you want to come on the show?
Because this show has been around for a while.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Right. A year and a half.
Yeah, by this point.
Wait, but 1 year to see Kamus Dito.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Anniversary. Actually, wait. What are we now? Episode
79? Something. We'll figure it out later.
Nauna pa si Red Oliero.
Yeah.
Kasi yung gago to nauna pa sa akin. He wasn't even in the group when I wanted to go on the podcast.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
Yeah. And then he comes in. I was like, Red, that's not fair. But yeah, I know, because I'm a fan, and it's nice to talk to other people about what we're a fan of.
Seal of approval.
Yeah, we were talking about this before we got started. For you, it felt weird talking about this shit in person because you're used to seeing this online.
Yeah. I got a notification about writers and things of that sort, and now suddenly I'm hearing it with my ears. It's kind of weird. I mean, no, I do hear it when we talk about in a podcast. But then seeing you and the mouths moving at the same time, I'm hearing the voices.
Yeah,
is pretty cool
with real time reactions and all that shit.
Yeah, it's like a brush with fame.
Only Stan here is famous.
Well, at least you get to say na naunahan mo si MDJ.
That's right, MDJ,
the Kirk Goldsberry of the
MDJ. I want to say you're the real Tito. Not me. All right, but it
shots fired.
This will be a fun
clash of the Titos.
This will be fun when the Smart Henry office actually come to life. No? All right, so
we work in a subway.
So
next to a subway.
We listen to the Sawyer Paul podcast. It's called International Object. It's also on iTunes. Mm-hmm. And around the 58-59 minute mark, you guys start talking about wrestling criticism as a whole.
Did you guys actually get through the first 58 minutes?
No, I've got to admit, I skipped through until
I don't like Apple.
I know. No, I think it was a quick working day for me on Friday, so I didn't have a lot of time on my hands.
It's fine.
The last 20 minutes.
I was transcribing, so I had to listen to the last half.
It's okay. You don't have to. I'm all right.
But for our listeners who want to know.
Oh, so.
About this. What were you there for?
What was I there for? Okay. So Sawyer and I do this. We catch up via Skype every other year and a half.
Yeah.
And the last time we talked wasn't even about wrestling. It was just about tech stuff. Mm-hmm. So we get along on those levels. Those are the circles we get along in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I had been he messaged me when he came back that last time. Of course, he quit again, right? Mm-hmm. But he came back that last time and he said, "Hey, are you up for doing a podcast?" And I was like, "I just got back from the States. I'm moving in. Sure. But as soon as I set up everything, I'll let you know."
Yeah.
And then I just recently set up everything, but the Apple thing happened.
Right.
The thing, which it's the first one. I know that it's not relevant to this, but
it's fine.
It's the first keynote that I usually watch. Like I watch it live, and then I tweet, flood the world.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, I wasn't tuned.
Yeah, but the next, the last one was last September, and there have been a few since, and I've missed it because life happens. So it was the first one I did, and I got excited about it, and he got excited about it, so we decided to talk about that first. But I had been wanting to come on the show because I had things I wanted to vent about, which is in line with things I've kind of hinted at with you guys in the chat.
Yeah.
You know, so there are things that I've been bothered about lately. So I wanted to come on that show.
So now you're here, and you can explain things better. I'm just gonna disclaim this whole interview or this whole session by saying that this might very well be our most polarizing episode.
Yeah,
because we're gonna talk about the fandom, the local fandom in general, and we're gonna try as much as possible to not be as venomous,
snobbish. Is that the word?
In a way, yes, but there's venom. I can feel that there's venom somewhere here. It might not be outright, but it's here.
And is there Vic Venom?
Nah.
Oh, you didn't mind.
Nah.
Okay, just Venom.
Maybe Randy Orton Venom.
Okay.
So I've been thinking about what you said on the podcast, on Sawyer's podcast, and I want you to repeat the whole thing. Some of the points here, and we'll talk about them. And I actually have some counterpoints, or at least I'm going to try to make you not seem so heelish.
Thank you. Okay. I need all the help I can get, I think.
So let's talk about this. So what did you... You had something to rant about. You had something to get off your chest. So what was it that you... I want you to say it. I don't want it to come from me or Stan.
Okay. I complained, basically, about my fatigue with wrestling criticism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, before anything, let's preface this with your position at Smart Henry. Mm. You were going to put out a column series called The Critical.
The Critical,
and you only were able to put out one entry in that series, which was talking about PWR.
I remember numbering it as The Critical Zero. I don't even think it counts. You know, it was just the launch article we happened to have that week. Mm. And then I told you guys I'd take a break, but that was a real break. That wasn't because of fatigue.
Right.
You know, that was a real. I had the life happen.
Go to States.
And
I did.
And move.
Okay.
Those are two things. So, yes, I'm supposed to still have that series. I believe that series still exists. It's just that there's nothing coming out yet.
Uh-huh.
Unless, of course, I've been secretly fired while
I was... No.
But
What's at this point, though, he has more articles than you.
Yeah, I know. I know. I have like a theme song Tuesdays and a critical, and that's it. And I edited one.
I have four.
And he has more than you.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Did you edit one?
No.
Sorry.
So moving on.
Okay, moving on. No, we haven't even gotten to it. I was complaining about wrestling criticism, but let me clarify, not everybody else's criticism. My complaint was my fatigue in contributing to criticism of wrestling as a whole.
The wrestling dialogue.
The wrestling dialogue.
The intellectual wrestling dialogue.
Well, see, that's the part that makes it heelish. See, the intellectual wrestling dialogue is not a thing that... It's not like I'm looking around and thinking, this is not intellectual, ew. That's not, certainly not what I'm trying to say. But it's my initial interest in contributing to the field was thinking I had something to say. Okay. And I have a specific voice that... You know, kapalan na mukha might need to be heard. You know, I'd like to share, and I have a specific perspective, point of view, and I'm responsible for that. I should speak, and hence the critical, hence several things I've written or talked about, or the position I usually take when we're talking in SGP.
Wait, for those who don't know, what do you lean more towards when you, with your criticism?
Okay, no, my biases. Okay.
Yes.
My biases are I generally veer away from a presumed expertise about backstage machinery.
Yes, okay.
I mean, it's because one of the things I am averse to is the everybody's an expert.
Yeah.
We see that kapag kunwari Gilas is going on a run or the NBA Finals, but everyone's a commentator.
Right.
Or
right.
Manny Pacquiao is fighting.
Yeah.
Exactly. Things like that.
Right. And but
we're all guilty of that.
Yeah, of course. And that's the thing. That's what I end up saying in the podcast. Mm. Even I end up, I mean, as quote unquote, as naive or optimistic as I am or as arrogant as I am about this, I end up falling victim to it anyway. But my biases are the position that I can't assume to know everything that happens backstage, even if dirt sheets come out.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we know that Triple H owns the company and Vince McMahon should die and...
Olay.
Yeah, olay. Ahoy! Right? You know, I can't presume that. But what I can presume to analyze the heck out of is the text. And in this case, what's the text? The narrative and the show that's presented.
Mm-hmm.
And then on different levels, WWE.com, which pretends to be backstage, is really still canon. It's still the narrative.
Right.
So the analysis my analysis, not everyone's. Mm-hmm. My analysis I'd prefer that mine focus on those things because that's where I feel any of us can actually have a say that we have a right to say, because I don't think many of us say things we don't have the right to say.
Right, right.
Things like, you know, screw Kevin Dunn. Although, my personal opinion, labo niya, diba?
Yeah.
I mean, to put it out there as a position I am taking, screw Kevin Dunn, is a thing I am generally averse to. So the only way to critique wrestling narrative that's canon is...
To take what it is
and use techniques that are already there, and then try to break down the convention. You say, what's the convention? The most quote-unquote intellectual thing we have is Barth, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't even have to go to Barth.
Right.
Let's just talk about heels and faces and stories.
Yeah.
Diba? Heels, faces, stories. It doesn't make sense that one's a heel, doesn't make sense that one's a face. Blah, 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 blah. That's essentially what you can do. And then what you try to do is... What I try to do is try to see if we are being trapped by the convention, something is escaping the convention, or if something's doing the convention super well. Okay. Parang ganun. If I have to think about it that hard. And that is my preferred bias. What I talked about in the podcast is that I'm getting tired of doing that. Because
why?
Because
deep sigh.
Brace yourself.
I'm gonna use Sawyer here. Not me.
Sure.
That he said that they can only do so much shouting into a void.
Mm-hmm.
That you feel like after a while you build a rapport, you build a vocabulary that is shared, an understanding that is shared. Na may critical vocabulary na, right? That you share with your audience or your peers. But something happens And without even understanding why or how, you're back to zero. You're back to arguing, why is this guy a heel? Why is this guy a face? Why did he? Why did Seth Rollins? Why did Kevin Owens have to lose? He was supposed to be booked to look strong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And ako, as a fan, I'm telling you that as a critic, I disagree with that convention. But as a fan, I was like, hassle naman, no? Kevin Owens is supposed to look strong.
Yeah.
So I suffered from the same thing I'm trying to rally against. Mm. So seeing na-dismaya ako, that's what happens to me, that this is what happens to, I suppose,
smarks in general.
Mm-hmm. Smart wrestling fans and who are marks.
Okay, for those who want to keep up, you pretty much don't like the fact that you're analyzing the narrative using backstage motivations.
Oh yeah, those are my biases. Yeah, sure. Yes. Because I think it's based on so many illogical arguments.
When we say Kevin Owens has to look strong,
yeah,
it's a more or less a backstage thingy.
Right.
It's more or less, it doesn't have that much to do with anything or the larger narrative of the WWE. Mm-hmm. It's just, he's our favorite wrestler. Mm-hmm.
It's what we want for him.
Yeah, it's what we want for him. In order for us to get what we want for him, mm-hmm, he must be treated this way, mm-hmm, using the paradigm of backstage machinations.
Exactly. And the thing is, we can only glean backstage machinations based on what we see on TV.
Yes.
So when he loses to Cena, it's not just he loses to Cena because Cena is a better wrestler. Yeah. Of course not. Mm-hmm. It's about, oh no, Kevin Dunn is holding him down.
So there's like a subtext lagging, right?
There's always a subtext.
Yeah.
And
there's multiple layers.
And the thing
layers.
Is, much of the subtext is not based on anything we actually know. That's
concretely no. Yes.
And that's why I try to avoid it.
Does this come from a place though, na parang you feel like there is a level of unworthiness? Kasi hindi mo alam eh. Parang how can I speak about something that I don't completely know of?
Yeah, partly. But then that's also, I'm not sure. Did you guys listen to the Cheap Heat?
Cheap Heat
episode where Rosenberg says, I think I saw your hits, apparently. Mm. Rosenberg says that there is no field with as many butthurt participants as professional wrestling.
Oh, no, I haven't heard this.
He said this, and I thought it was so funny. Uh-huh. Because wrestlers, I'm sorry, I realize some of you are that. But I'm not talking about you.
No. I get it.
Wrestler, certainly not. And anyone listening, I'm not talking about you. But wrestlers are, you say something about wrestling, and a wrestler would come up and say, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, you're in your mother's basement.
Right.
You know, dirt sheet writer. You don't know a thing about the business. Why don't you step foot in this ring for 1 minute before you say something like that? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I respect that. That's also true. But on the other hand, it's, what are our sources for our presumed, who built up this body of knowledge of backstage stuff? Dave Meltzer,
yeah,
Dave Scherer, Bill Wade Abder, Keller, yeah, and then the top three, and then it trickles down to what? The sites
us,
we read,
yeah,
every day.
Pretty much us.
And then to us eventually. Yeah. But Meltzer and Wade Keller and Scherer or whoever these people that people defer to truly honestly don't know.
What it's like.
Or they don't know the facts.
Sources.
They have sources. Yeah. But yes, their track record is not exactly pristine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and I respect them for what they do. There is value in what they do. But the thing is, basing an entire body of criticism based on what they do is, I think, that's silly. Because, I mean, I'm comparing it to Apple things.
Okay, right? Go on.
But Apple is, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No.
Apple is the most secretive company there is. And the best that everyone can do is try to get
speculate,
right?
Yes.
But very few, the ones who conclude to know, who presume to know and conclude the decision-making process that Apple has,
yeah,
end up always being really silly and foolish and wrong,
mm-hmm,
you know. And it's the people who think about what's actually there and then what's known for a fact with journalistic integrity and with logic and research skills, and then they make their conclusions and their analysis. So, sa wrestling walang ganun eh.
Oh.
Sa wrestling kung anong nandun na. Triple H is a bad guy. Kevin Dunn's a jerk. Wow. Vince McMahon doesn't, you know, likes macho people. Is out of touch. These are things that are generally true, but they're assumed as fact every single time.
Because wala kayong two independent sources that you can like verify.
No, not just that.
No, not
because
just that.
It's, you know, lazy thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, lazy thinking.
It's taking something that is branded as fact, even though it should be outrightly opinion.
Yeah.
As fact.
It's the same thing that motivates like Kevin Owens gago talaga tong si Vince, oh.
You know? Yeah. And I'm like, wait.
Mindsets like that.
Yeah, which, and I'm complaining about, which happens to everybody, including me. That's also the first thing I think. So I'm starting to think, wait a minute, there's just no getting out of it.
Yeah.
There's it's just, a vicious cycle. Yeah,
the metaphor that that informed the title of that show was you have to go back to the basement.
Right.
It was Sawyer when he said that whenever I watch wrestling, I'm unemployed. Mm-hmm. And then I said, yeah, whenever I watch wrestling, I'm divorced. And then he said, yeah, whenever we watch wrestling, we're unemployed, divorced, and in our mother's basement. And we were saying, there's no taking wrestling to where you are or want to be. I want to take wrestling into the university or to a coffee shop where we can talk about it the same way we talk about a freaking book.
Yeah.
But you learn that there is no taking wrestling out of the basement. You have to go back to the basement. That's the title of the show. Okay. Of course, that is a solid conclusion, right. And I'm not going to stand by that completely like I'm 100% right. Mm-hmm. But that's what essentially I talked about.
Okay. Okay. So I actually have a counterpoint to all that. I think I have a way to explain mm-hmm. why we have to go back or why we end up going back to these conventions. Mm-hmm. Now, we look at the subtext behind every on-screen narrative move. I think the problem is wrestling has always been a historically business-driven art form. And it's always been driven by what is best for business. And I'm not just saying that because Triple H likes to say it.
Of course.
Parang who comes out on top is driven by who is popular, who yeah. sells, who makes money for
who moves
everyone.
Merch.
Who moves merch, who draws the gate. And because it's always been business first and storytelling second. Because you have to tell a story in order to make business. Eh?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You have to... The underlying business narrative has always been the secondary text. That's why. And another thing is that... Let's take WWE, because it's the most consistent wrestling production in
there
the world.
Ever.
Ever. Well, yeah, ever, I guess. Well, TNA, you have TNA.
No, but...
No.
Well,
low TNA. Yeah.
No, I'm saying no. Okay. I just mean they have shows every week mm-hmm. and
oh,
follow
okay. that kind of consistency.
Yeah. So okay. WWE and TNA. The problem why we don't resort to looking at the subtext is because wrestling logic. Whatever goes on screen cannot be explained by
real world logic.
No, not just real world logic, but I don't know literary conventions or. Mm-hmm. Dramatic norms, mm-hmm. fictional norms. Because sometimes promoters or bookers or writers just do things for the sake of.
How about let's give an example, diba? Let's take something recent, like Randy Orton,
yeah,
associated
yeah, yeah.
with Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the show on Raw this week, there was no explicit announcement that Randy Orton is their third man.
Mm-hmm.
All we get was a backstage segment where we didn't even hear what they said. Kausap lang ni Randy sina Dean and Roman. Randy comes out, he faces Sheamus, he wins. After the match, the Wyatt family attack him, diba? So wrestling logic tells you mm-hmm. na Randy Orton is the third man kasi the Wyatts attacked him and made him a target.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Dean and Roman never came out to save him.
Right. So they're going to look for explanations by saying, okay, why did Dean and Roman not save him? Why was he attacked? Because since you can't explain it using...
conventional logic.
Yeah, conventional literary logic or, you know, whatever trope there is, you're just going to come, okay, maybe they're writing Randy Orton out because he's going to take a vacation.
Or he's shooting a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Something mm-hmm. like that.
So, because you're filling the gap with that. I don't think it's necessarily lazy thinking on the audience's part. It's definitely lazy thinking on the writer's part,
right.
On the booker's part. But since we are given less, we have to look for other things to fill that gap. And that's why we don't do the same things with Lucha Underground.
I was gonna say the thing that just steps on that the presumed universal wrestling logic is shows like Lucha Underground.
Exactly.
Even NXT doesn't. NXT is still WWE logic. They're high on Finn Balor, so and it's different people being high on different things.
Mm.
The thing is, it's just different preferences now. It's not Vince. It's not Kevin Dunn.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
Triple
yeah.
H. It's William Regal, whoever. So
no, but you're also going to look at Finn Balor with a subtext now. Finn Balor is champion because he's the best.
Mm-hmm.
But he's technically the best worker, not necessarily the best on-screen wrestler, which he also is. But he, looking at things from the business side, he's the best rest. He's the best worker. He's the most popular.
Yeah.
One of the most popular.
Yeah. So in that case, we're lucky that the presumed powers that be agree with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
in this instance,
because that's what they value.
So
in
we
NXT.
Don't look. So we so, don't look at things using this underlying. No, this underlying paradigm.
Yeah. Triple H likes him, therefore he's
exactly.
His team.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's only when we're lucky enough to do that. However, Lucha Underground, I don't think is about us being lucky enough to do that. I think Lucha Underground is built as a serialized TV show.
Exactly.
Yeah. With that perspective, and then the medium of narrative is wrestling.
Exactly. You can and say Prince Puma was a champion for the entire season because he is the best. And
he's friends with Conan.
He's friends with Conan. No, yeah. No, 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 no. Wait, yeah. Okay. Wait, before that.
Actually, not
you can
oh,
say,
sorry. Yeah,
you
right
can say that,
right.
Robert or Chavo got Ricochet because he's a really, really great wrestler.
Yeah.
But you can overlook this because they've done such a good job of hyping up Prince Puma and whoever else, like Phoenix, Aerostar.
Mill. Yeah.
I have a question. In difference than Lucha Underground in terms of storytelling vis-a-vis WWE/NXT or whatever, is it because WWE is explicitly a wrestling promotion whereas Lucha Underground frames itself as a TV show about a wrestling promotion or a teleserie about a wrestling
it's
promotion?
It's what I was saying kanina. At the end of the day, WWE and NXT, no matter what they are, no matter what you're talking about, they're still a wrestling promotion that's with storylines being driven by business. It's still they're still business yeah. decision. It just so happens that NXT storytelling is much more superior than main roster storytelling.
And I think that's primarily where one of the biggest problems lie. WWE's boss is not the audience. It's not their objective.
It's not fan driven.
It's not. Vince always says, "What do you want WWE to be in to be remembered as when you're dead? Entertaining."
Exactly.
And I call BS on that. I think we should all stop believing that because obviously the thing that everybody in the company unanimously wants to happen is best for business.
Make money, yeah.
Best for business being we make the most money from the audience, not necessarily entertain them, but we make the most money from them and the stockholders and the advertisers. And I think those are two things that so many of us, except for some of us and like MDJ or something, just have no knowledge about. Like, just we just don't know. We don't
or
know
we choose
what
to ignore.
Or we choose to ignore. Because we choose to ignore or we don't have a choice but to be ignorant. With all due respect.
Yes.
To people including myself. I just, you know, I can say that I'm choosing to ignore. But really, I just don't know a thing. You know, I'm glad when they make more money. But then if you think about what then merits the success of the analysis that we are so used to doing, it would be the financial reports. It
yep.
would be
yeah.
the stock market or where their public
stock
offering
prices,
stands,
you know.
Their stock prices. We ignore that. And yet the logic that drives what we think is best for that is what we use to motivate why we watch a show every week.
Yeah.
Again, I am not saying these are bad things. I'm just saying these are things that...
You don't prefer.
I don't prefer. And so I then try to do whatever it is we try to do or I try to do. And then I'm tired. That's what happens.
Okay.
So
yeah. Fair enough.
Here's a question. So yeah. You come from that state of mind that you're tired of all this criticism happening for your reasons. And you know, the reasons are valid naman. Kasi, like from my perspective, I can't question your reasons because that's how you feel. Mm-hmm. But what do you want to happen? Like
anong gusto mo sa fandom?
Yeah, anong gusto mong mangyari?
Heavy sigh.
See, that's what I didn't want to talk about.
Yes?
Because that's also something I can't presume to have a concrete answer about.
It's fine.
I would like to...
Got you, man. Got you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be protected by masked wrestlers, whoever they happen to be.
I am a friend of.
And Romeo.
Yes.
Masked wrestlers
just know the guy.
Romeo. Yeah, some dude. Which... I think it's very interesting, by the way. Not to brown nose your friend, but I think that's a very interesting approach.
Who are we talking about in particular?
Anyway, so
let's talk about that later.
Yeah,
later.
Sorry.
PWR later.
What do I want to happen? Anong gusto kong mangyari?
Yes.
Yeah, to be more honest about how we're trying to communicate. Anong gusto kong mangyari, Mikey? Okay. Ang gusto kong mangyari is that... Kasi pwede naman yun eh. Yung sinasabi natin, yung criticism na hindi ko type.
Yeah.
There is a place for that.
Yeah,
it's just not.
There is a place for that. I guess it's part of the lore now. No,
we do both. We do both on the site.
We do both. That's why there's space for it there.
When Stan does a review, he does both.
Yeah, there is a place for. Let's just call it the Meltzers. There is a place for them.
Okay.
Then there's a place for people to try to, based on what they do in their fandom, try to do something else, which is us. Mm-hmm. And then there's the what I guess I'm starting to appear that I'm trying to do, which is not really the case, but which I'm trying to do or Sawyer's trying to do, which again sounds grosser than it is. But that we are trying to do, that's to build up a theoretical body of knowledge.
A framework?
A framework through which or in which we can see wrestling as a text, as a narrative medium, based on things that we can use to analyze a narrative medium and not a half narrative medium, half business, half fandom.
Yeah. Half rumor.
Half rumor. Unless we're honest about it. My other problem is that so many times they're just not honest about it, mm-hmm. right? But that's the thing I would like to happen.
Even if it is what it is.
Even, what do you mean?
No.
It is what it is assumes that there's nothing I can do about it.
No. I meant to say, given that we have all of these compartments that we are trying to, mm-hmm. you know, frame in the same context, mm-hmm. it is what it is. It will always be a mix. We can't always isolate one thing from the other. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, here's the thing. I actually agree with Mikey a lot. That's why he hates me. We're the same people.
You're my shadow.
We're pretty much the same people in within the space of the wrestling fandom. And this is what I try to do whenever I fantasy book. You know this.
Yeah.
I always follow logic, like literary logic. I try to treat wrestling as I look at it using comparative literature. And the reason why I told you, Hanina, that sometimes some of us turn to the business side narrative is because the logic breaks down.
Right.
Vince makes the logic break down.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I really want to look at everything as a text, and I still try to do this, I always try to do this whenever I review something, I always look at it as a text. But sometimes, things cannot be explained. Everything, most of the things that happen are non sequiturs. So as much as we want to try, and I think this is where we differ. You're tired of that. You're tired of people not looking at it as a text, because that's what you want the conversation to be about. I personally am just trying to keep plugging away and hope that somebody else catches on.
No, here's the thing about it. I mean, like, I was listening to my feelings about the International Object episode. When I listened to it, I actually had to step back and think that parang, wait a minute. Am I still doing the right thing?
We are. That's what we do here.
That's number one. Number two, is it still worth doing? Because it comes from a place where there's frustration, right? And I know all about frustration where you try to plug away, but it feels like you're chipping away at nothing. Mm-hmm. And there are no tangible results. But on the flip side, I like looking at this as, at least tayo sa Filipino market, it's still new . Yung exploring wrestling as a conversation piece and
as a literary text.
And as a literary text. I think those are two different things, but both na relatively new rin in the sense na it's only beginning to be cool again here, in as opposed to the US where people are realizing na shit, it's cool. You know what I mean? Like, I want to reference Shoemaker's piece where he says...
This past week's
piece. His piece this week where he says na wrestling has taken on a mainstream level of popularity it hasn't enjoyed since the 80s or probably the Attitude Era. Yeah. And that's why a lot of mainstream celebrities are being out about their fandom again. Dito locally, it's not... We haven't reached...
I told you it was like being gay.
I made that analogy, but it's...
It's not we did.
We did on the show.
But I don't want to be politically incorrect because we may have listeners who are part of the LGBT community.
I'm pretty sure we do.
Yeah.
Or you do.
I'm pretty sure we do.
And then they'll say that, wait, sure you're not being persecuted and literally killed for, you
we're
know,
not
being
mad
a,
at
being
you.
A
martyr. Okay. So we're mad at you.
We're not comparing it per se.
We're kind of getting persecuted.
We're comparing it to Jace. So, yeah. So let's leave it at that. dito sa Pilipinas, we don't have that. We don't have yet yung level of popularity where mainstream celebrities locally, where you have somebody like, say, a Ding Dong Dantes who comes out and says, I love watching NXT. I like Finn Balor, diba? Like, when, if and when that happens, puta na, that's great, diba? Bogart
that's
the Explorer.
The dream.
No, we have Bogart the Explorer and Stanley Chi.
And Yam Conception.
And Yam Conception. Right.
I passed by BGC yesterday, the Puma store. They're featuring runners, and one of the runners are wearing a CM Punk shirt.
Oh, no way. That's fucking awesome. You should have taken a picture of it.
Yeah, I was thinking of doing that.
Is this, I don't know, is this, what? Oh, it's a model.
Yeah, some, like the runners that they feature. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Fucking awesome. I need to talk to that guy. Anyway. So, okay. Yung point that I was trying to make is, I think the one reason why I wasn't, I was disappointed was parang, medyo na dismaya naman ako hearing that. When parang we're still trying to make the ground here, we're trying to gain ground here, and I like the fact na, or I'm proud of the fact that I'm one of the people behind the movement. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to explicitly say it's a movement, but you can kind of say it is, right? And being one of the trailblazers for that is a source of pride, because nobody dared to do it before we did.
Yeah.
Or maybe if someone did, I didn't know. Right. It wasn't organized as well. Let's reference SGP and how, you know, we feel na parang it's not the SGP that it was when we first started.
Really?
What? Really? What are you talking about, Stan? No, because honestly,
just kidding, guys.
When we were what, 30 guys? Yeah. When we were 30 guys, basically just. I don't like to call it a circle jerk, but. It was a circle jerk for a while.
It was not a circle jerk.
No, it wasn't.
Circle jerk like curtain jerk, right?
Hey!
Yeah, like that.
Hey,
yeah. Like that.
No, but what it was before is much different than what it is now, and it's because of a lot of people. Sobrang dami ng tao. But I think that's all the more reason for us to keep plugging away and doing what we do.
Throwing someone under the bus.
No, this
is all Stan, guys.
Stan!
No. I'm messing with you.
Let's do this. Kasi diba, bato-bato sa langit ang tamaan, huwag magalit. I'm tired.
Stone at the sky.
Ang tamaan, like si ano.
No, if we listen to the podcast, we are talking about
stone to the sky.
No, we're not.
Whoever gets hit, don't get mad.
We're talking about Anthony and Lance. We're talking about you guys.
We're tired of your puro shit.
You elitist puro shit.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Wrestling fans talaga.
No, but like I'm tired of seeing shit on my feed. Parang, and his name is John Cena. Or
it's getting.
Yeah, I personally don't like that. I never liked
it
since day one.
Right, so I'm tired of shit like that.
Yeah. But no, like, fuck it's you. Oh, God, I'm in the booth. Nah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry,
audio.
So I know. The point I was trying to make is it's much different than it is right now, and I think it's all the more reason for us to keep plugging away. Because if you let the, I don't know, the discourse or the fluff discourse take over. Everything we've been doing over the last 2 years or year
for naught.
Has been for naught. Thank you for taking the words out of my mouth. So, para I think more than
such
anything,
such a noble cause this is.
It is.
No, it is.
More than anything, it means that much to me. Na yung feeling na, the feeling of being dismayed at what I heard was overtaken by. The chip on my shoulder that tells me na I have to keep doing this even more.
Right.
And I think I needed to sleep on it last night to actually have that realization na, to not just stop there and then to look past that and see na it's a bigger impetus for me to do what I do.
But why did you feel that way? Because it was just his feelings.
I guess it was more of the fact that I really respected what you think. I really respect what Mikey thinks. Ever since I met you in SGP, whenever you brought something to the table, it made me stop what I was doing and read it or listen, because it made sense. And I guess it's a level of it boils down to a discussion of level of discourse, because admittedly as people iba-iba yung level of discourse natin right? Some people prefer to engage in a level of discourse na gaguhan. Mm-hmm. Some people prefer to,
that's not bad, you know. Yeah, it's not bad at times,
right?
Sometimes shit gets too heavy. We just want to see something light. It's fine,
and just have fun with it.
Yeah,
diba? Like, and then there are times now you want to keep it in the middle where you're trying to make a point, but you put in a joke here and there, but mm-hmm. it's not too heavy.
Yes.
And then there's that level of discourse where, you know, for lack of a better term, is the intellectual level of discourse.
Yeah, for all we know, our listeners have tuned out already.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, guys.
Where we take a look
at but I love this shit.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it right now. But where you take your usapan niyo. to a higher level where you talk about concepts, you
an
talk about theories.
Academic level.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you. An academic level. So I think that's where you're coming from.
That was the original goal. That was OG SGP.
Yeah. So, simply, we can't do that all the time for the podcast.
Yes, of course, of course. And we can't do that all the time for the Facebook group as well.
And I can't.
I don't want to do that every day.
Right.
As much as I want, as much as I want everyone to look at things in a better light.
Nagigets kita when you see na nakakapagod din. Because if I had to write my raw review like that every damn week, tanga na mapapagod din ako.
Yep.
Diba? So maybe the question should be, where do we find that happy balance?
Happy balance.
Wait, I was gonna say, nung nadismaya ka, kaya bang tagal mo mag-reply kagabi?
Hey! No, I was watching General Luna last night. Great movie, by the way.
I should go watch it.
Yeah,
I want to watch it.
It's recommended viewing, man. Mm. So,
let's smoke it at the end of the show.
Do we still have time?
Yeah,
yeah, lots of time.
We have as much time as you want.
One of the things that you said that parang your position kasi is very specific. You're also. I'm not saying your position kasi like that's why you're thinking that I'm reducing it. Of course not. But I'm saying your position is in fact very specific. Yours and yours. All three of you are in a very specific position to be part of the movement and producing the content.
Anong position? See, that's what we gotta do. We gotta keep it light.
Yeah. I try.
It's part of the happy balance.
Yeah, I try. Basta circle jerk, okay na yan.
Hey!
What's this? You produce the content, or you're part of the
content generation
group, especially given that the Philippine fandom or the Philippine climate is changing, and it's primarily because of what you guys are a part of.
Yeah.
Right? So, I remember having this conversation in class when I was being forced to be academic, and because contrary to how it's starting to sound, this is not the thing that I do, like, it sounds so masturbatory, yeah. Parang
being scholarly is masturbatory. We have to accept that.
I speculated that it's partly because it's not purely from that. It's also because wrestling sucks so often, eh. Mm-hmm. So you try to glean more value from it than you're used to. Right? Anyway, so just protecting myself so that I don't become the jerk of the day.
Don't worry, I will always be the jerk of the day.
Well, when I'm around, sure. Yeah. The thing that I was forced to be academic with Demic once, and I was criticizing like Philippine criticism. Mm-hmm. I was just calling out, parang why are we parang giving ourselves a different standard than we were so harsh to American criticism and we're so harsh to Philippine criticism because it's Philippine literature because it's so informed by Western politics and you know colonial whatever
mentalities.
Yeah.
Yes.
So parang we can't seem to get out of it. So now the defense mechanism is to be super post-colonial, to be super Pinoy ako, super sariling wika. I know, that's why I was saying it's a very interesting discussion with certain friends of ours who wear masks.
No, not just that.
Oh, what are we talking about?
Certain general managers.
Certain. Exactly.
Certain general?
But it's also. It's the Filipino.
Is it compensating just for the.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
I was saying, guys, isn't it. Isn't it like kind of for discompensating? And then they all said, many of them said, and these are really smart people, people smarter than me, but many of them said that, of course we're not compensating. It's just that, you know, our movement is so fresh and young and vulnerable that wag mo munang guluhin ang ginagawa namin kasi pasimula pa lang tayo eh.
Yeah.
You know? And then eventually we will move on to really not being super hyper post-colonial and being just focusing on good literature and good texts and moving. And my argument is why can't the good text be the movement as opposed to the movement being the movement? Anyway, going all the way back to wrestling, I understand that perspective because I am saying I support the movement, right? But then I come out with an article or the first draft of the critical, which only Romeo saw.
Yeah, pretty
which
much.
Only Romeo saw. And it was a thing I had to wrestle with because I had all these thoughts. And I'm thinking, you know, if we're going to do a movement, let's do a freaking movement. But of course, the reality of the situation is there are other people we have to serve or other masters we have to serve. There's commerce. There's audience, building an audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's getting as big a fan base as we possibly can. I'm saying we here. Right?
Yeah.
I don't have a choice.
We're part of it.
Yeah, and we are trying to get as big an audience as we can. Then Mark Henry happens and we are trying to do all sorts of things as much as we can. SGP is growing. We want it to grow. That's what we've been saying from before.
Right.
We wanted it to grow. The thing is,
I am seeing that these things come with a price.
Yep.
And it's a price that many people are willing to pay. But I'm suddenly finding that I can't afford on a weekly basis, on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And for those who can afford it, like you, more power to you. You know?
Yeah.
And more power to you, more power to you. And well, let's just be therapeutic to each other in the chat and say, okay lang yan, pare, wala tayong
magpapawa. A circle jerk.
Yeah, yun ang circle jerk. Yeah. But, you know, and but my personal reason is, that's why parang, also, I find that there are, like Maro to me, I feel like I am of similar wavelengths to him, and he says it so fast and so well.
Yeah, he does.
So I'm so impressed by him that, parang, okay, well, I have nothing to say about
that. Yeah, he has like, what, five columns and you don't?
Balik talaga
din. I have one, and only one is credited. The other was just theme songs.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, what else do I have to say here? What has to change? Wrestling has to get better? Wala, there's nothing you can do. It's just, it is what it is.
Okay, first of all, this is what I was thinking about when I heard what you said on Sawyer's podcast. And I'm going to say that, yes, wrestling has to get better. Also, we also do have to get better. Everyone has to get better. But here's the thing. I don't know if it's you're just really too fatigued. You just had way too many experiences on the internet. But I think it's something that can be done. It's just a mountain of a task. It's just that people start somewhere. Everyone starts somewhere. I'm sure you guys, Stan, Camus, even you, Mikey, even myself, we didn't start looking at wrestling this way until we read the right things. Like, I'm sure Stan wouldn't be like this if I didn't influence him.
Right.
It's your
credit.
Fault.
Taking
it's
all the credit. No, I'm just kidding. No. It's me, like, you know, we...
He's the evil genius.
We had it in ourselves to go out and read stuff like Shoemaker and find that Bart's intro.
Mm-hmm. Or hell, if you read other writers like, I don't know, Stroud or
Stroud, yeah.
Fuck Stroud. But anyway.
Really?
Yeah, fuck Stroud.
He's been on that position for
a year
now.
Can we get to that later? I want to ask.
Oh, okay.
Did you talk about this on the air? I'm sorry.
No.
Stroud? No? Can I ask about it?
No, we did for a while.
Did we?
Yeah. Later.
Yeah. I'm saying that people start somewhere.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that when we were smaller,
mm-hmm.
it was easier to guide us along that path.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And SGP just grew faster than we can handle.
Mm-hmm.
And
PWR with it.
Yeah. No, but PWR is not part of this equation. It's just SGP. We're talking about the fandom.
Okay.
It just grew faster than we can handle. And it's because I think these things, changing mindsets of people, take time. Eh? With the growth rate of SGP, you just can't expect us to get people on our train.
Yeah. Agad.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a matter of who's tired and who's not.
Yeah.
Of evangelizing. I don't know. We go to the evangelism word.
Which is an analogy I brought up yesterday when Ro and I were
Well,
chatting.
No, it was Sawyer's analogy, diba?
Yeah.
It was on his
It started with the Apple evangelism. Mm-hmm. Then moved on to
it's just at this point, if you want to have an entire fandom, an entire nation's worth of fandom that thinks the way we do,
yeah.
you're not going to do it in, what,
two months,
3 months, a year? It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
You have to keep feeding them the stuff we want them to talk about. And it's the same thing. That's where your ego comes in. I mean, like, here's where the preference comes in. But sorry, not ego. Of course, it's not something you want to force feed to everyone. It isn't. But if that's what you prefer, talking about, if that's the kind of stuff you prefer discussing, you got to have at least some part of it. It goes back to having to plug away.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. And I get where you're tired of it. I really do. Sometimes I am. But I realize, because we just can't stop if this is what we want to happen. Yeah.
I agree. Except one of the things that's scary is what When I say when I can't afford it, it's not that I can't afford the frustration or the thinking every day kung wala naman nangyari.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What I'm losing is the joy of wrestling. And when, I mean, it's, you know, I try as I might. It was just easier to watch SummerSlam as a guy who doesn't give a crap.
Okay.
You know, let's watch Sheamus and Orton, and I will not think about how much the audience hates it and why it's the, you know, I'm just going to watch it. And if it's,
that's true. That is a fair point. Yeah.
And I feel like this is a thing that Sawyer and I talked about before, but also one of the key things you will notice about some people who talk about wrestling, who attempt to talk about wrestling at a particular level, at a certain point, you realize they hate wrestling.
Yeah.
They hate wrestling. And I could feel that happening with me. Mm. I could feel that happening, which is why I'm on a break. I'm not watching. I don't watch anymore. Okay, I used to watch over breakfast on Tuesdays. Right. But then I can't anymore. But I'll just read about it so I know what's happening, kind of.
Yeah, when you have to review Raw every week, it's mind-numbing. It's soul-crushing.
I know. And I feel for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you made a commitment.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel for you, except you're a jerk sometimes.
Hey! You are the Superman to my Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. But
Deathstroke
thank you.
To my Green Arrow. Yeah. The Green Arrow to my Deathstroke.
But I feel I don't have the. I'm realizing. Look, we all prided ourselves being lonely wrestling fans when we were younger.
Yeah.
Right now we're all together. But I'm realizing now that my wrestling fandom is limited. Mm-hmm. It's not unconditional. Yeah. I don't love it like I love things I will love forever.
Yeah.
I love it to a point. And at some point, which is now for me, my phase this year, I think, is, ugh, naumayako.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, can I just watch and make it, can I just watch it from the basement now and just watch it as a kid?
Right.
And mark out when I can or get bored when I want to. That's, unfortunately, what's happened.
And I think that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
Like, I can't blame you then. Because, yeah, I don't know if I've ever brought this up, like, in a private chat with us three or with whoever. Na parang, yeah, sometimes I kind of just want to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll have to watch without taking off, while taking off my smart goggles, or, you know, as I like to call them. I think this is why I enjoy pay-per-view sometimes.
Yeah.
Because whenever I watch a pay-per-view, I don't think about the review I'm about to write.
Yeah.
I just watch it. You know, or this is why I look forward to viewing parties.
Right.
Because at viewing parties, you get to take the smart hat off.
Yes.
Yes.
Because you just get to enjoy the fact that you're in the presence of other Pinoy fans and you're at a fucking sports bar.
Yeah.
And you just enjoy it.
So, and 15 peso wings.
Yeah. So maybe we need more of those moments.
I find it in discovering new stuff. Like, this is why I like watching New Japan right now, because I'm really just, I'm still, familiarizing myself with the whole thing. So I enjoy watching almost everything.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. Because ganun din yung experience ko when I watched DDT live. Because I knew nothing about it. The only guy I knew
was Ibushi. we were at the first PWR show last year.
Right. Or even Joshi Jam last year in January. I didn't know anyone outside of Tajiri, and it was just a refreshing experience.
Mm. Kana was there, right?
No.
Sure he was. Your opponent knee Kana in one of those highlight matches.
I see, okay.
I think the best balance you have to do, well, it's up to you if you really want to do it. If you still want to look for something I love about wrestling, is to just find something you just like. Just keep finding something. That's why I loved Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
I liked it when it was there.
That's why
it's not here right now.
That's why we love NXT. Exactly. Because it's just easy to watch, and then you don't have to overthink it sometimes.
I don't overthink NXT.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to that much.
Right.
So yeah.
Anything else, guys? Like, before we wrap
Why do I hate Brandon Stroud?
Yeah. Let's get it out there before we wrap this up.
He is the extreme version of what we want to do.
Okay.
Parang everything to him is
sobra.
Text and subtext, and sometimes he just comes up with things that aren't there. Okay. I don't like that, because I respect the author. And the author...
That's so interesting.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We're not going to go another hour on this, are we?
5 minutes! Sorry, 1 minute. Can I just say, one of the interesting things about respecting the author is that one of the... Barth himself, though. Mm. I learned this. It blew my mind. It's so annoying. But Barth himself was the one who came out with a piece that that cries out for the death of the author.
Yeah, yeah.
Formalism.
Yeah.
Right? The post...
Post-critical?
No. Post-structuralism.
Post-structural.
There is, beyond the structure, the author releases the text. At that point, it's no longer owned by the author.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah,
I disagree with that.
I remember there was one WrestleMania where Shoemaker and Sawyer both came out with articles that they didn't know
were arguing with each other. There's a death of the Booker in this sense because Undertaker lost to Brock, right? Yeah. So his decision was it Vince or Brock's or Undertaker's, right?
Yeah.
Or Undertaker lost to Brock. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And I think there's so it's so much easier. Back to my biases, it'd be so much easier to do our thing if the author is dead because or Vince is dead. But back to that, right?
No, no, no. All I'm,
it's true. But
no,
Vince
all I'm
is
saying
author.
Is all I'm saying is I don't like Stroud because half his reviews are fan fiction. I don't like that shit. It's sort of pathetic. But okay, there's a point where you want. You want the wrestling product to go a certain way. You want a wrestler to be a certain way. But a lot of it is fan fiction. And that has nothing... That has very little to do with reviewing a show.
Does this have to do with your derision for fan fiction culture in general?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
Pretty much.
I see.
All right. Well, Mikey, thank you so much, man, for taking time out of your Saturday
hey,
morning.
Hey, 1 hour.
This is fun. I mean, like, I actually...
You know what? After if people have made it to this point...
Oh, boy.
They're without either going to unsubscribe or love us even more. I was telling Stan when he was talking to me about your podcast guesting. Mikey, I love you, bro, but you're an elitist and...
What?
But you just don't want to admit it.
What?
No, I'm an egalitarian.
Whatever.
That's what I do. Whatever.
Wrestling's for everybody.
Bourgeois.
Bourgeoisie.
No, wrestling is for everybody, but...
We're bourgeoisie in it up in here.
If this was released in UP, we'd get lynched.
No.
One of the
things I'm happy about. No, way. No. I don't think so.
No. Oh, not with the win streak.
What?
That was there's a win streak?
Yeah, there's a win streak.
Like Undertaker was a win streak?
It's a 2-0 win streak.
No. UP would love this shit. They would. It's looking at things more in a deeper way.
And I was going to say, one of the things I'm grateful about is that you're all like sharing this with me and not like saying, ikaw lang yung elitista.
Oh, no.
That's
the thing, eh.
Closet elitista kami.
Like you know, my character in this podcast is me being the elitist.
Yeah. Basically.
Hashtag hero.
Yeah. That's what I was telling Stan yesterday.
Right.
The three of us here are pretty much the elitist superheroes.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody. when I have my own podcast, I'll be there for you. Okay?
Yay.
Yeah, and let these guys be the elitists.
So, yeah, at this point...
If you're still listening
to us, if you still like us, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, but thank you for not unsubscribing.
But if you unsubscribe, we totally get it.
Yeah. So, thanks, Mikey, man. Really, it means so much to us.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, Tito.
All right, we'll give you our picks of the week in a bit. Big shout-outs and thank yous once again to Mikey Llorin for coming over and helping us hash out those feelings and process them.
So again,
it was fun.
We want to say now, if you think we're kind of elitist, that's because we are. It's we're going to be honest with you and say that this has been what the SGP podcast was all about since day one.
Yeah, this is the gimmick, guys.
Yeah, this interview...
We pulled back the curtain way too much.
No. It's just... Think of it as us explaining the gimmick. But it's not really a gimmick. It's
what we
it's
do.
It's who we
it's
are.
It's who we are. It's how we look at wrestling.
Yeah. So, you know, if it was a reason for you to unsubscribe, thanks for, you know, being with us on the ride for this long.
And we have to reiterate that we're not asking you to, you know, we're not asking everyone to suddenly look at wrestling the way we do.
Right.
But although that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
That's what we'd like you to do.
We're not forcing you to.
Yeah, we're not forcing you. If you want to look at it a certain way, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, at least from a personal standpoint, I've always wanted to be an influencer to this extent.
Oh, naman.
Diba? So I guess this is our way of doing it.
We're not going to mind fuck them or mind rape them.
Yeah, we're not. I mean, you know.
And if we did, that was unintentional.
If you're influenced to say pick up
Lucha. No, we're doing it indirectly.
Yeah.
If anyone out there wants to think... You know, if they want to analyze wrestling a certain way, that's what we're here to influence.
Right.
Or if you want to
pick up something, let's say you want to pick up New Japan or Lucha Underground, because we talked about it on the show, fine and well, but that's good. I guess that's a good barometer, a good metric of our reach, of our influence. And those are the things that we like. Those are the things we want to happen. So again, thanks for still being part of the ride if you made it this far. And if, you know, you haven't tuned out just yet. Now, before we get out of here and before we spend the rest of our weekends doing whatever it is we do on the weekends, we got to let you know our picks of the week. And it was quite quite the struggle to find something really nice this week, so I'll pick something basic, which was the main event of this week's NXT. Finn Balor and Samoa Joe against the Lucha Dragons in round one of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. So, Finn and Joe, medyo weird na nagkaroon sila ng backstage segment na they were in the locker room at Full Sail and then they have their match at Providence, Rhode Island. Ang weird ng disconnect. Like, what the fuck?
We taped this at New Sail.
It caught me off guard and the match was actually at Providence, Rhode Island, and then they said, "Now we'll take you to Tom Phillips and Jimmy Uso at Providence, Rhode Island." One of my pickups from that match was, wow, Tom Phillips is still employed by WWE.
One of mine. He is. He's been on their YouTube channel for a long time now.
Yeah, nagulat lang ako because he was pulled out of NXT, then he was pulled out of SmackDown.
Yeah.
Right, so nagulat ako na parang, okay, I'm glad he's still with WWE.
No, but, if you notice sometimes during pay-per-views, when they cut to the desk, he's usually there.
He's in the social media lounge when Renee Young is doing the pre-show panel.
So he's still employed.
That's good. It calms me down because I'm a huge fan of Tom Phillips.
I like him too.
Right, Finn and Joe, they parang wala sila masyadong chemistry as a team, but they did what they could do as individuals.
Yes,
Jocks also said the same thing nung ni-review niya yung match. As for the Lucha Dragons, I wish they didn't have to face Finn and Joe in round one. I wish they were in a different bracket.
Like, yeah, against, that's not a round two so then.
Yeah. Diba? Kasi the Lucha Dragons are former tag team champions, and if it was a tag team classic, you could have at least given them some kind of rub, some kind of exposure.
Well, I think that was the rub, eh?
That's just their... No, they were used as the rub.
Yeah, they were the rub.
For Finn and Joe. Okay.
They rubbed.
Yeah. I kind of saw what you did there.
Hey.
I enjoyed it though. Nevertheless,
so,
I like watching Finn and Joe.
When is Joe turning on Finn?
Or Finn turning on Joe?
What do you think?
If they make it to the finals,
over/under.
I think they win.
No, I think when they lose. Sorry.
Yeah, either they win it all and then they start feuding with each other, or when they lose, that's when one turns on the other.
I don't think it makes sense for them to win it all. To feud with each other.
Yeah.
It's parang. You could have used it to elevate a new tag team, like Shoot Nation.
What if Finn and Joe end up winning it, and then Joe says, oh, okay, I'm done here. I've conquered all the tag teams. Now I want to be the best individual, so I'm going after you, Finn.
That doesn't make sense. If he wanted to conquer the tag teams, he would have won the championships.
Yes.
I think it happens when they lose eventually.
I hope it happens. I wouldn't mind seeing Jordan and Gable win it. Now that I think about it, or the Vaudevillains, because they still need some kind of rub. Because for the tag team
champions,
they have to elevate yung status nila as champions.
As champions, yeah. Because whether we admit it or not, Murphy and what's his name, Blake. Blake and Murphy actually did a pretty good job of being tag team champions.
Really? Tag team champions at that.
Yeah, I thought they were good. The Ascension were great because they established the dominance of the tag team belts. The Lucha Dragons were great, but I didn't think they had that long of a run.
They didn't have a story either.
Yeah, they didn't have a story. Kina Blake and Murphy, when Bliss entered the picture, I thought it established them na parang we're the premier guys and we have a manager who can help us, so you have to beat us to get the belts. So I think the Vaudevillains need something to hang their hat on, and I think winning the Tag Team Classic does that for them.
They need adversity. That's what they need.
But they had adversity, nay.
Everyone has adversity.
No.
When they had Bliss bullying them.
No, as champions. As champions. Kay. They need to be tested. And this is the test. That's it. It's as simple as that.
Okay.
All right. So that's my thing. Going back, just to wrap it all up, Finn and Joe, my pick of the week.
My pick of the week is, again, it's a tough sell for everything. It's a tough buy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go with Cesaro versus Miz.
Why, though? Versus Miz. It was a four-minute match, which...
I don't know. You know why? Because Cesaro is the most exciting member of the roster right now.
Uh-huh.
He is filling in what Daniel Bryan did, I don't know, 2013? No, not last year, because he was injured last year. 2013, at his pinaka peak.
Yeah.
He is filling the Daniel Bryan role right now. He's providing all the energy, all the soul in the show. Mostly because he's like the best conditioned wrestler on the roster.
Right.
So he gets to run around like Bryan. Hype the crowd up like that.
Show his strength.
Yeah, show his strength. Run around. Be energetic.
Hit the big moves.
Hit the big moves and get the pops. And eventually, I think he has to be a big player by WrestleMania season. I think. So yeah, maybe I should call it now. He's winning the Royal Rumble.
Ooh.
I can see that happening.
And I, okay, a corollary to that, if Cesaro loses, fans will shit on that Rumble.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Unless Bryan comes back.
No. In the context of the Rumble itself, if Cesaro loses or is not there, they're gonna shit on.
Yeah. Oh, no, if he's not there, if he's not there, shit on the Rumble.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. Yeah. Mm. Okay, we'll call it here on the podcast.
Calling it. My pick of the week is not so much a match, but something that we're seeing on NXT, and it's the new Divas Revolution from Australia. I like it.
Australia.
They have two new talents debuting this week, Billie Kay and...
Are we sure Billie Kay is a new talent? Haven't we seen her around?
No, we were just...
She's relatively new. I think she was part of the new class that they brought in. Uha.
Okay.
Yeah.
So... These two new girls, Billie Kay and what's her name?
Peyton Royce.
There.
What the fuck is that name, though?
I don't know. But they're Australian. Okay.
That sounds like an NFL player.
Peyton Royce. Oh, actually, it does.
Yeah.
Like on that Key and Peele segment.
Yeah.
like that. So these two women are not horrible. Not horrible. And doing pretty well with jobber status gimmicks.
Of course, they're new.
Because they're new. But I do like the idea of having three Australians on NXT at the same time.
Why?
It's just something that it's, for diversity.
Four, diba?
Emma. Right.
No, three.
Four.
Emma.
No, including Emma. Emma.
Murphy.
Peyton. Oh, Murphy. I forgot about Murphy.
Jeez, everyone forgets about Murphy.
So, four Australians, it's diversity, guys. At the end of the day...
Diversity.
The only thing we need is a non-Japanese, non-Chinese Asian. That's
what,
it.
Non-Japanese, not...
What, a Pinoy?
Non-Oriental.
Which Chinese Asian is there?
No. If we were to have...
No, but you non-Oriental. Said non-Japanese,
non-Chinese. No, non-Oriental. Non-Oriental Asian. So somebody who's Thai or Filipino.
Vietnamese.
What
about the ref? There's a Vietnamese ref.
There's a Vietnamese ref?
There's a Vietnamese ref.
There is a Vietnamese ref on the main roster. Yeah.
Shit! Good job, guy.
Jesus Christ. It's not so much a diversity move,
but
it's...
There was a Vietnamese wrestler back in the day.
Was his name Loki?
No! Oh.
What?
Jesus, he's not Vietnamese.
He's American.
He's Rican. Anyway, no, there's a Vietnamese guy. This guy who jobbed the Tyson Kidd in his debut.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, things like that.
Vietnamese guys, get your ass to NXT. Vietnamese Jesus.
All right, you good, Camus?
Yeah, I'm good. Vietnamese Jesus don't have time for your shit.
Yeah.
All right, that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. We got to thank you for making it this far and for always hitting the subscribe button.
If you made
button
it this far.
And the download button.
If you're still subscribed.
Yeah. Nevertheless, let us know what you think. It's at Roiswar, at Caveman Camus, and at _ Stan C, and at the SGP Podcast on Twitter. Don't forget, you can also find us on your favorite podcast app, whether that's the iTunes Store, Google Play, and everywhere else. Of course, our main server is Buzzsprout, so you can find us there. You can. We also have to thank our friends at the Mellow 94.7 Studios for always hosting us, and our friends, the boys and girls of PWR. Don't forget, you can catch PWR Renaissance on September 26th
at MCS. Hey, if you're listening to this on this day, Saturday, September 12th, there is a meet and greet.
No, it's not going to make it. It's not going to make
it's
it.
It's not?
Yeah, then trust me, it's not going to make it.
Well, whoever... Nah, you're going to upload this today.
No, I'm going to upload this today. It's just...
Whoever listens to it, if you're still listening to this on September the 12th, Saturday... You can get your ass over to Cabal X, Rumpus Room. There's a meet and greet. You can buy your
pre-sold tickets.
Yeah. You can buy tickets to Renaissance this early for only $250 because at the gate it's going to be 300.
Yes, it's going to be 300 pesos. So get yourself a discount and start buying your tickets early at the Rumpus Room and at the Appraisery at Cabal X. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. And we've already talked to some of the boys about the matches. Next week we'll be having more of the PWR guys over. I believe we have. I believe we have Mayhem Brannigan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Chris Panzer,
right. So
at the very least. Yeah. At the very least.
They'll be joining us next week on the SGP podcast. And in the meantime, in the between time, we gotta get out of here. Happy weekend, guys.
Peace.
See ya.